Heavenly Father, God, thank you for being exactly who you tell us you are. God, thank you for being a God that does not lie, a God that gives us great promises and always fulfills his promises. God, thank you for the ways that you show us your love and you show us how generous you are with that love. God, I pray that as we worship you today, whether it be in our thoughts, as we take communion, God, as we worship you through song, as we worship you through this message, God, I pray that what you want me to say, I will say, and what you don't want me to say, I will not say. But ultimately, God, I pray that you will pierce the hearts of your people and move them to move towards godliness and to be more like your son, Jesus. We pray these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. So, as you see here, we got our blockbuster summer going on. And last week, Mike shared that we our number 10 movie was The War Room. And so we had an awesome message about prayer. And I hope that this week you have put those things into practice and just learning more and more and digging more and more into what it means to build up your prayer life. And, you know, that was a result of our midweek series when we did a men's midweek and women's midweek. Everybody who came were able to give their top 10 movies. And you guys just met Brian, and he's responsible for the ingenious idea of real experience. And so today, we're going to go to our next movie, and we're actually going to go into our number 8 movie, Love and Basketball. So who actually picked Love and Basketball? Who had that on their list somewhere? Oh, okay. Well, I know for sure it was on my wife's list because this is her favorite movie. And so who's never seen Love and Basketball before? Okay. So here's a little introduction for you in case you haven't seen it.
Girls can't play no ball.
Ball better than you.
I'm gonna be the first girl in the NBA.
No, I'm gonna be in the NBA. You gonna be my cheerleader.
They play the same game.
If you don't start a bad attitude,
critical foul.
No one's gonna recruit you.
I'm a ball player.
With a jacked up attitude.
They share the same dream.
You'd love for him to play USC like you did, right?
No, I'd love for him to get a good education.
There's only one way to be successful at anything, and that is to give everything.
Coach has us on 11 o'clock curfew. I can stay a few more minutes.
You sweat.
I'm sorry.
I don't have it easy like you, all right? There's no red carpet laid out for me.
And ain't no way some soft freshman is taking my spot.
Monica, hustle up, move it!
You forgot to be there.
If I stayed, I wouldn't be starting.
Well, at least you got your priorities straight.
Look, I'm entering a draft. I'm going pro.
So that's it. Just forget about you and me.
New Line Cinema presents a story about the passion it takes.
I never knew anyone love ball as much as you.
I've loved you since I was 11, and it just won't go away.
This spring.
I'll play you. One game, one-on-one.
For what?
Your heart.
All's fair in love and basketball.
So hopefully that helped you get a little understanding what the movie was about. But essentially, you got these two kids, a boy and a girl, Quincy and Monica, and they meet each other when they're 11 years old and end up being next door neighbors, and they're with each other for a long time. They go through middle school together, high school, and they eventually go to college together. And one of the things that bonds them is their love for basketball. And over time, they realize that their friendship and their desire to be more than friends was real. And so then they get to college, and you know, things don't quite work out in the beginning because he's the superstar. His father was in the NBA, so you know, he had the red carpet rolled out for him, but she had to really work for it. And it was cool that the coach said, anything you want to be successful at, you got to give it your all. And so today, one of the things we're going to talk about, instead of love and basketball, we're going to talk about the thing that God couples love with. and that is generosity. Love and generosity. So when you think about love, what comes to mind? For many of us, you know, we have our different perceptions of what love is because we have different backgrounds, we have different experiences, different upbringings. And so for some of us, love may evoke some amazing euphoric feeling, while for others, we can equate love to hurt. For some, we may get the butterflies in our stomach when we hear the word love. And then for others, it may be like, I'm good on that. So if you know about love, you probably heard some of these songs. Oh, no, I'm not going to sing it this time. It is one of my favorite songs, though. It's Love by Music Soul Child.
So many things I've got to tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how. 'Cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things
oh, here you go.
Are destined to change. 'Cause love.
Don't act like y'all don't know the words. So y'all know all the words to this song. Trying to act like you don't know the words. Love. But it's okay. It's okay. I remember I was in seventh grade when that song came out. I was singing it to every girl I ran into. That's when I learned I shouldn't sing to every girl I ran into. But if you don't know that one, you probably might know this one. It's a little bit older, so check this one out. You know you got a ditty bop across the stage. Take that. There it goes. You know, you got to do it. You got to do it. If you got Mary J, you got to just stand there. But if you don't know that one, it might be that you're even a little bit older than that. So here's one more. I don't know if this one, she wasn't on the same wave as everybody else.
You must try to ignore that it means more than that. Oh, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when good. A heart can be...
Oh, so y'all know that one. Well, y'all some saps. Good grief. Everybody saying that one. That showed me one thing. Folks love some music. Y'all love music. I'm going to be looking at some of y'all to be at choir rehearsal on Tuesdays. Just because I'm preaching today don't mean I'm done recruiting. All right? But the other thing that these songs showed me was that everybody loves love. Like there's something in all of our hearts that longs for love. We desire it, and yet sometimes those experiences we've had skews that reality. But if we want to know what love is, and if we want to have a true meaning of love, an unskewed, unbiased, untainted view of love, then we got to go to the source. Because if we go to songs for the meaning of love, we'll be at love all the way over. What's love got to do with it? But if we lean on God's meaning of love, we won't go too far to the left or too far to the right, but we'll be right in the middle. And so let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 3. Now, if you've been living more than 5 years, you didn't even have to be a Christian more than 5 years. You've been living. You know this verse. Verse 16. John 3:16. It says, For God so loved the world that what? He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, what's amazing about this is God modeled the perfect love. He showed us from the very beginning exactly what he meant by that concept. He showed us that love is letting go of something that was so precious to him so that he could get something else that was even more precious. Love modeled by God was him saying, you know what? I'm going to give up the one thing that I have, my only son, selflessly, so that you guys can have a chance. You guys can have an opportunity to respond. You see, he wanted something, and that something was not anything other than you. He wanted your life, your commitment, your heart, your love, and your response. The commentary in the Life Application Bible says, God sets the pattern for true love. When you love someone dearly, you're willing to selflessly give freely anything you have. So ask yourself the question, am I willing to sacrifice out of my love for God? See, that self-sacrifice is a true mark of generous love. And that's my first point, generous love. You see, maybe, as I said earlier, your perception of love may be a bit skewed. And so as you come into this and we see love and, we can't get past the first part to get to an and. Because our experiences have said, you know, when I put my heart out there, somebody took it and stomped on it and kicked it to the curb. Or your experiences said the opposite. And so you're willing to love, but your love wasn't necessarily the godly love. Your idea of love may have been lust. Your idea of love may have been infatuation. Your idea of love may have been attraction. And so when it comes to God's love, you still are working with a skewed view of what that means. Or maybe you just never experienced love at all. I would venture to say that all of us sitting in this room have experienced love of some kind, but I don't want to assume. Maybe you don't know what love is. Maybe you've never truly experienced it. See, like I said before, you have to go back to the source. Every time you want to know what love is, you can't go to social media and relationship goals. You can't go to your neighbor and be like, just tell me what love is. You can't just take that for face value. But you see, when you go to the source, you constantly find new ways to reiterate what love is. For example, another popular scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Write that in your notes. Have you ever sat down and thought about the reality that the Bible says that God is love? And then went to 1 Corinthians 13 and replaced everything that said love with God is. If you've never done that, it's a great opportunity for you to really come in contact with who God really is. Not the God you grew up with all the way over here and thinking, not the God that was vengeful and wrathful, but the God that truly loves. Take some time to do that. 1 Corinthians 13. And then that creates a great test for you to put everything you think about love up against. If you say, I love this person, are you patient? Are you kind? You ain't got to go no further, because patient and kind is the two hardest things to get past. That's why they first. You see, the more in tune we are with an unbiased, unskewed view of God's love, we can have our eyes open clearly to see who he is and what he's doing in our lives. And so let's keep going through the Bible. We're going to have a lot of opportunity to see the scriptures, if that's okay with y'all. Is that okay? And so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in him, talking about Jesus, We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Here again, we see a whole new concept of generosity from God. You see the word lavish, and I don't know about you, but when I see lavish, I don't think about somebody that just begrudgingly was like, here's my son. Go ahead, take him. Instead, it says he lavished grace on us, and because of that lavish grace, the grace that he poured on us freely, selflessly, we have redemption through Jesus. Sometimes we can take that for granted. We can take for granted that we have an opportunity to speak to the God of the universe simply because he loved us first. That's the God that desires you. The God that decided, you know what, I will give up everything. I will bankrupt heaven in order to reach out to these people. With the small chance that at the time that they meet somebody else and somebody talks to them about Jesus, they would actually respond. Like, have you ever taken the time to think about, as you move through your day-to-day life, where you are right now in your life? And as you think about where you are in your life, have you ever thought about, like, man, what if I didn't meet this person? Like, I think about the reality that when I went to college, I was not thinking about God at all. I wasn't even supposed to be at Georgia State. I was about to get gone. And at the time I was deciding on colleges, I decided to stay in Georgia for my son. But I think about that, and I'm floored by the reality that I met Quay, and we became friends, and then we moved through life and did a lot of stuff, and then got to the point where Quay met Angel. And like, if you really sat down to think about it, you would see God's fingerprint on love all over your life. But sometimes it's just easy to take love for granted. You know, if you're married, there's times when, you know, you can be with your spouse and you just take for granted that they love you every day, unconditionally, despite how ugly you are, despite how your breath stank in the morning and you trying to have a whole conversation. Despite all of that, if you have friendships, you take for granted that those friends will drop anything at the drop of a dime if you're in need. Because that's love. Love is not self-seeking. But you see, when I think about the way God has lavished his love on me, I think about the last 8 months. You know, I don't know if you guys know these things, so I'm going to let you into my life a little bit, if that's okay. But last year, in November, my wife got laid off. And her company just, like, they called her to a meeting, and they said, yeah, we put about $25 million in here, and we got $25K back. We shutting down. Effective immediately. Now, that can rock somebody's world. To be in a situation where you're loving life, you're going about your day, and you're like, yeah, we got a meeting today. Okay, we're done. And so, just so happened, I get a call. I'm leaving CSK at that moment. I get a call from my wife, and she says, she's just crying, just bawling. And she says, they laid me off. Now, brothers, I'm going to give y'all a little piece of advice. If a woman gives you some bad news, don't immediately try to fix it. And don't make jokes, okay? Brian, Quay. So the first thing I said was, at least you get to sleep in tomorrow. I was trying to look on the bright side, and she wasn't feeling it. I'm learning. I'm just 4 years in. I think I'll get it by year 25. But the way that God lavished his love on me and on us in that moment was that same day, I got my stipend for coaching softball. So that equated to a couple weeks of work for her. And so it was like, oh, I mean, I told her that too. Wasn't the right time to tell her that, because then she just hung up and yeah. Lesson learned. Take notes, fellas. I'm just trying to help y'all out in my sinful self. So, but then over the course of the next 5 months, she was putting in applications left and right, left and right. And nothing was really coming back. Like, she got a couple of offers, and I was like, nah, turn those down. She was like, huh? Turn jobs down when I don't have a job? Yeah, turn those down. You good. Turn it down. And throughout that time, I don't know if y'all realize this, but January was when I came back on full time. That could have been real bad. But the reality was like, our faith had been built through that time because of how God lavished his love on us. Like, it doesn't make sense. Hey, you want to go back on full time? Yeah. Wait, you want to go back on full time while I don't have a job? Yeah. So you're going to leave CSK? Will you get a check every 2 weeks to go back in the ministry? Yeah. Okay. But the way God continued to lavish his love on us was, you know, I ended up coaching basketball at CSK. And so then January comes, and I'm like, okay, well, I got to do it. And I get these random checks. Got a deposit in my bank account from APS, Atlanta Public Schools. I'm like, huh. My wife was like, you know you got paid from APS again. I was like, oh, that's what's up. She was like, why? I don't know. 2 weeks later, you got paid from APS. Why? I don't know. You're not going to ask? Nope. I mean, not my mistake. I put in my paperwork. It is what it is. I think it was God lavishing his love on us, and he generously supplied everything that we needed. But even for the next couple of months, like, I would get random checks in them. My friends know this. Like, if you need some money, just rub my head or something. I don't know. But I would just get random checks in the mail. I would get a residual check for something I did years ago. I'm like, huh, great timing, God. I get a refund for something I didn't know I overpaid. I'm like, hey, great timing, God. And all of that showed me that God is so generous. I don't want you to think that generosity is just monetary. But I think for some of us, we have to recognize that God does things for us when we move in faith. When we act in faith and we do exactly what he calls us to do, things happen. And those are biblical promises. I'm not going to preach health and wealth from the perspective of prosperity is only monetary and physical, but there are physical benefits to following Jesus. That's biblical. And so, you know, those are the things that prompted us to continually grow, continually give. Like, the whole time she was out of work, she was acting as if she was in ministry. She wasn't getting paid from the church. But her heart was, well, if this is where I am and this is where God has me right now, let me invest in these young ladies. Let me give. She babysitting everybody. Like, she's like the church babysitter. If we have kids, who gonna babysit for us? I'm gonna keep that in mind when y'all... We have little Jasmine, even though she said we can't do that, so I'm okay with that. Would you say, once it takes your faith to a new level, you realize that God's generous gifts, the way he lavishes his love on us, it requires a response. Because the reality is, if I never got those random checks, if I never got the things that I can see physically, there's one thing we have to remember. The very first verse we read, he gave his only son for you. Every single one of you sitting here. But it says that whosoever believed in him will not perish. Belief is response. When you respond to something, you're not just saying, yeah, I got it, cool. Belief, when you look at John 3:16, is not about this intellectual assent to understanding of particular concept in question. Belief is saying, you know what? What I say I believe won't be moving my actions. So if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, and then he says, this is how you should live if you follow me, then your life should indicate that. And so that brings me to my second point, generous response. In light of having a God that desires us and lavishes gifts on us, we should really be moved to say, you know what, God, what can I do? Like, God should be like, you know what? I need you to chill out. I need you to calm down. You're doing too much. All this sharing your faith, all this giving, all this loving, you need to calm down. Is God ever going to tell you that? No. No. But when you think about how we respond, that's the essence of the Christian walk. If you say Jesus is Lord, then you're saying, Jesus, where you tell me to go, I'll go. What you tell me to do, I'll do. Anything else other than that is a slap to the face of Jesus. Because he left heaven to come here, this dirty little tennis ball, to die and suffer a gruesome death for you. If y'all hear that five more times, it's because I want it to really resonate with you. Because each and every one of us has ways that we can grow in our response. Each and every one of us has ways that we can grow in our obedience to him. Because that's all response is. It's obedience. We don't like submission. We don't like obedience. Those are cuss words. But God is generous with his love. And all he wants, quite simply, is for us to love him back. But it can't be that emotional love. God, I love you. You're so amazing. He's like, that's cool. But I need you to be obedient. I need you to do what I say. That's how you love me. Because you then lessen who you are. John the Baptist said, I must become less so that he can become greater. See? Everywhere we see in the New Testament, if you read through the New Testament, you'll run into people who Jesus would come in contact with, and they would be healed by Jesus. And Jesus would be like, hey, I know I just did this, but don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Go and sin no more. Hey! Jesus just healed me. He did it. He did it. You saw I was blind? Now I see. You see this? I see. It was this dude right here. Jesus was like, all right, I told you. Okay, fine. All right. Jesus, woman at the well. Hey, go and sin no more. Hey! I just met a man that told me about my whole life, everything. He knew everything, even my side bae over here. He told me about him too. I didn't know anybody knew about that, but he told me. But, you know, we don't respond that way. We're too civilized. We're too civilized and scared of what people would think if we're generous in that way. You know, sometimes we fail to act generously because we question if we're going to have what we need. We don't give up our comforts. We don't give up those things that God calls us into because we think if we don't work those extra hours or miss a few things to do what we need to do, that God won't come through. And if I could tell you every story from my life for the past 4 years really last six, but you know, what comes to mind is even in my marriage. If I could tell you every story, you'd be like, dang, that really happened? Like sometimes I get tired of telling the story because it feels like it's the same story over and over again. But the reality is that's how generous God is. And when we do what he calls us to do, we can see it. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Proverbs 11, 25. If you're there, say, got it. If you're not, say, hold up. All right, I'll hold up. Proverbs 11, 25 is one of my favorite verses. It says, a generous person will prosper. He who refreshes others will be refreshed. You know, that's an awesome principle because the reality is it's true. It's one of those things that God allowed to be in the scriptures so that you can test it. Like, God put certain things in there and is like, try me. See if I'm going to come through. And the reality is it happens every time. It may, like, don't expect, like, it's a vending machine. All right, God, let me put this generosity in. Boop. All right, there's the blessing. Appreciate you. Like, that's not how it works. But you'll see it. Like, imagine this. If you have your hand like this, say I got $2 in my hand. It's crumpled up. It's $2. And God is like, hey, get that up. You can either be the person that says, God, it's the only $2 I got. I don't know about that. Or you can be the person that opens it up. And the reality is if you open your hand, yes, the $2 will be gone. But if your hand is open, you then have an opportunity to also what? Receive. If your hand is like this, oh, you can hold on to your little sweaty $2. But what's getting in there? You're not receiving anything. That's the principle. If you refresh others, you yourself will be refreshed. And there's so many ways that this is evident here in this church. Like, yeah, we could talk about Acts, and we could talk about throughout the New Testament. We could talk about 2 Corinthians. We could talk about all of that. But the reality is if you can see it, if you have eyes to see, that's happening right here in this church. You know, there was a point when me and Taylor had one car. And it was the first time I was full-time in ministry a couple years ago. And I'm sitting here like, man, how is this about to work? How she going to get over here, and I'm going to get over there? And it just didn't work out. And there was a brother in the church, and he knew what was going on. He knew the need. And he gave me a car. That sounds crazy, right? Like, that really happened? Yes, that happened. He gave me a car. He was like, hey, I got an extra car, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, to get you from point A to point B. I'm like, shoot, it drive? And it had AC? I was good. But that's what we see throughout the scriptures. The disciples gave to anyone as they had need. And so if we're going to be a church that continues to grow into being a biblical church, we have to move our hearts and our minds to understand that God is generous to us so that we can be generous to others. So many ways we can be generous. Many of us, we can be generous with our time, our comfort, our expertise. You know, some of us, it may not be a hard concept. We are at everything. If it's a party, we're there. Midweek, we're there. Shindig, we're there. I thought about Quay. Midweek, service, serving all over the place. There's others of us that struggle with that concept. because our time is our time. If I'm there, then I can't do what I need to do. If I'm there, then I can't take care of what I need to take care of. Sounds a little selfish to me. I'm just keeping 100 with you. Like, we all got stuff to do. But when you said Jesus is Lord, and when you saw that he died for you, he said, there are some expectations I have. There are some things that I desire for you to see and to do in response to my love for you. You know, it can very easily become, well, I don't really feel like it. Oh, midweek, we got that thing again. Yes, it's every week on Tuesdays. We got it, Tuesdays. Devos, devotionals for the unmarried folks. Fridays, church, Sundays at 10 o'clock. Don't stroll in here at 10:30, please. Stop. I mean, you could have took that up with God. I was just. But you see, when you think about it from the perspective of, I don't feel like being there. I don't get what's going to come of this. I don't understand why it's so important. I don't want to do it. Then you miss out on the opportunity to say, man, who can I have a conversation with? Who can I pour into? Who can pour into me? Who can encourage me? How can I encourage somebody else? That's the whole concept that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. But if you don't think that way, it's because you're stingy. That's the opposite of generous. Stingy. So, you know, if your time isn't a thing, you know, if it's like, you know what, I'm at everything, I'm good. Mind you, it's not a checklist. If you can't be there, that's a reality. But where we're trying to go as a ministry, as a church, as the body of Christ, is to understand a commitment to one another. That's one of the core values. If we're committed to one another, everything else falls into place. That's what God wants us to understand. But if it's not about time, maybe it's your comfort. Maybe it's your insecurity. Because when it comes to talking to people about Jesus, it's kind of uncomfortable. If you've never met them before, and you're just walking up, hey, man, what, you go to church anywhere? Nah. Oh, that's the conversation. All right. Like, but the thing, and even on Friday, the singles at Devo, we prayed specifically about having hearts to be workers. Because the reality is, the scriptures are true. God has already said the harvest is plentiful. Got it. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. And so if being generous with your comfort is the issue, it's time to step outside of your comfort zone. It's time to push yourself into the unknown so that you can say, man, God, how can I be generous with my own self? Your whole self. If you're playing it safe, then you're not going to see the results. Like, I could have easily played it safe 3 years ago when I quit my corporate job. I could have easily played it safe this time around and been like, you know what? I'm going to just stay working at the school, good, solid, stable job. But I wouldn't have seen the amazing things that come from just jumping. From a faith and a response of faith that says, you know what, God, you've given so much to me. All I can do is give myself wholeheartedly, without reservations. So what about your resources? We going down the list. Time, comfort, resources, your network. I know the moment you saw generosity up there, you're like, oh, Lord, is he going to preach about money? I hope he don't preach about money. Yeah, I'm preaching about money. Yes. Because God is the one that gives us everything we have. You wouldn't have the mind and the ability and the talents and the gifts and the access to get the money without God. We got doctors and future doctors, PhDs, masters, art. We got artists. We got some amazing people in this church. How'd you get the brain? Without that, you can't do anything. But God was generous enough to gift you with the gifts, talents, abilities, and resources to build his kingdom, not yours. So to put it in perspective, reality is monetarily, what you spend in one day on average is about the same amount as some people in this world make an entire month. Like you swipe, 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 Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, here we go, swipe. Some people, they don't make that in a whole month. Some people don't make that in a year. That's perspective. But in all of this, how much are we willing to sacrifice to give to God and to building his kingdom? Because we can say, oh, why does God need my money? God don't need nothing from you, but he wants it. And practically, the reality is that this stuff don't just happen. Like, there's rent. There are things we got to pay for. Your kids are enjoying a good curriculum. We got communion crackers and juice. That stuff add up. And in all reality, like, I don't know how many churches you guys have been to, but there's a staff of 5 people to do everything here. 5. There are churches that have 45 people on staff. And so a part of that generosity is understanding, like, you are helping other people get to know God when we have time freed up to do what we need to do. It's hard to get up at 6, be at work all day till 5, and then have all the energy to meet with y'all, meet with people that study in the Bible, do the administration for the church. And so practically, being generous with what you have monetarily allows all of this to happen. The things that you enjoy are able to happen. But it's not about me convincing you. Like, we all can work. We all got side hustles and everything else. But it's just something amazing about what you can see when God gives us the things that he gives us generously. Acts chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but it's very familiar. Verse 42 through 47 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Right after God generously gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit and understanding of what that meant, they gave generously to one another. And God added to their number daily those who were being saved. And it happens again in Acts chapter 4. Write that down, 4:32 through 34. The believers shared everything they had because they considered nothing they had to be theirs. And they did it with joyful and sincere hearts. Throughout the entire New Testament, we see God's people responding to Jesus' love, to his grace, and to God's ultimate generosity. And I want to thank you guys for modeling that, for showing God, how much you appreciate his generosity by the ways that you're generous yourselves. This is not an indictment or anything on the idea that you guys are not, but it's to help you say, you know what, let me go further in my generosity. I'm grateful to you guys. I'm grateful that in the ways that you've been able to contribute to the Next Gen Fund because I am a result of that. Like, I'm able to go out every day preaching the gospel, meeting with people, interacting with people, teaching them about God because I don't have to clock in at work. Mind you, the hours and days are very long, and there's really not a set time when I'm in and out of the office, but I love it. And the thing that comes to mind is, like, this past week, I went to Character Ed down in North Clayton, and God just blew it out the water. Like, I expected to talk to the football team for, like, 8 minutes and have a bunch of teenage boys just like, because it's 8 o'clock in the morning. So if you got a teenage boy, you know, ain't no functioning happening at 8 o'clock in the morning. None. They're not responding. But afterwards, a couple of the guys were like, man, let me get your number. I just want to, you know, I want to work on just being a man. I just want to work on growing up. Like, I want help with setting goals. And then afterwards, went out, worked out with them, ran a little bit, and then went back in and did Character Ed for the basketball team. Because the basketball coach was like, man, we love what y'all doing with the football team. Come in and do it for the basketball team. So I went in there expecting to talk to them for about 8 minutes and get some more teenage boys like. But the coach was like, I did what I was going to do, share my message. And the coach was like, yeah, you got something else for them? Well, coach, I thought I had about 10 minutes. He was like, nah. He had me in there for 45 minutes sitting in a circle. And those boys were just, I mean, at first they were just. But then we started talking, and me and the coach have way too much in common. He's just a little bit older than me. But we were sharing our experiences and from college and things that we had to learn the hard way, and they were soaking it all in. I don't know how that's going to play out, but I trust that God is going to use it. You know, teenage boys, their brain's not quite developed yet, so, you know, things take a few times to sink in. But afterwards, the coach was like, hey, y'all, take your phones out. Get Pastor Jazz's number. I'm like, okay. But afterwards, some of them text me and was like, man, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. Thank you for coming and spending your time with us. I couldn't do that without your generosity. That's just the reality. I would be at work 7 to 3. But until you see it play out and you see it happen in your life, you're going to forever be on the sideline wondering, like, does that work? Generous with my time. I don't really want to do that, but let me jump in. Wow, that was amazing. Generous with my comfort zone. Hey, I don't really want to do it, but I'm doing it. Hey, you want to come to church? Yes. Oh, shoot, they said yes. Generous with my money. Man, where did that come from? I gave extra last week, and it came back. The reality is that the way the Bible works is it doesn't if you don't. The Bible only works if you put it into practice. And so as we prepare for contribution, like, take this time to really consider, what is it that I need to be more generous with? What is it that I need to get into my heart? Like, because you can get it intellectually and it not make it here. What do I need to get to my heart to say, you know what, I could afford to be more generous. I could afford to trust God a little bit more and pray about it and then act on it. God be the glory.